Coming up on this edition of Mountain Escapes, we travel just outside the northwest boundary of Kootenai National Park between Radium and Golden to learn more about the legendary Diana Lake Lodge.
We have a valley that in the summer is full of wildflowers and in the winter is full of snow.
Anybody can hike it. It's amazing.
Mountain Escapes, a backcountry podcast. Your host is Brad Harrison, who's worked and adventured in remote settings his entire life. He's the executive director of the Backcountry Lodges of British Columbia Association, former owner-operator of Golden Alpine Holidays, and current owner-operator of Call West Alpine Adventures. Now, here's Brad Harrison.
Hey, stop what you're doing. Put down whatever you're holding on and put your earbuds in and check in for another episode of the BLBCA's Mountain Escapes. We are pleased to have an opportunity to chat with Mike Barnes and Pat Comer, owners and operators of Diana Lake Lodge and Tea House, located east of Spill Machine in the East Kootenai region of British Columbia. Hey, Pat and Mike, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be here.
Thanks a lot, Brad, for inviting us.
We're really glad to have you on board. A lot of our listeners might not ever visit Diana Lake Lodge or even perhaps a backcountry lodge in BC. Can you provide us a few details about your operation, like where the lodge is, how do we end up on your doorstep, how long you've been operating?
Okay, well, I guess we're in the eastern part of the province in between Radium and Golden and up in the BC Rockies. We're in a tiny little valley up there. We have a little log cabin that's been there for 66 years now. And we have a valley that in the summer is full of wildflowers and in the winter is full of snow.
And how long have you been operating the lodge?
We took it over in 2016. But it has been there since 1956.
Was it always operated as a commercial lodge?
Well, it started out as a hunter's / outfitter's cabin, but it's been a commercial lodge more or less for the last 40 years. It kind of dwindled in operations for quite a bit of that, and we've sort of ramped things up here in the last 5 years.
And how would a visitor get to your lodge?
It's pretty easy. They have to make a drive up a forestry service road off of Highway 93. It's a 20-some kilometer drive. The road's usually in pretty good shape because it's used for logging a lot. And then there's about an 8-kilometer hike with about a 1,800-foot climb. Trail's really nice. Goes through some old-growth forest, meadows, waterfalls, creek, and ends up in an alpine meadow, and that's where our cabin's located.
I understand a lot of BLBCA lodges use helicopters to access their lodges. It sounds like you don't. It's self-mechanized travel?
That's right. In the summertime, that's correct. We're not allowed to fly. We have a limited number of flights that we can do in the summer, so we fly in supplies in the late spring and again in September. But generally, everybody has to walk in, including us, and we have to carry in all the fresh food that we use. So it's an approachable valley, and anybody can hike it. It's amazing.
Winter's a different story, though. Because we go through serious avalanche terrain in the winter, we fly people in.
So if I was to go up in the summer, would I have to pack all my, you know, my big backpacking pack, or would you be flying in some of my gear for me?
No, we don't fly in any gear, but the cabin is fully equipped. So really, you just need a day pack and a light sleeping bag. The hut's plenty warm, and then whatever things you might want for your stay up there for hiking, but it's really not much more than a day pack is what you need. And on top of that, we offer catering services. So you might not even have to bring your own food if you want to eat what we cook.
Yeah, I'm sure it's excellent. So once I get to the lodge, what am I going to see? I've managed to hump my backside up the lodge. What do I see when I first arrive at your front door?
Well, you'll see this rustic, old-fashioned looking log cabin in a beautiful larch meadow, and you'll be in a valley. You can look all around you and you can see a couple of beautiful ridges which are beautiful for hiking, and the judge, which you can scramble up and Mount Norman, which you can climb if you want to. There'll be lots of snow generally. We have snow. The snow sometimes goes in August and sometimes doesn't completely go all year round. And you'll see a million different wildflowers on your way up and when you get there.
And so you mentioned that you do catered packages as well. Can you lay out the daily menu for me?
Oh, that's a challenge. We try and change things up quite a bit. But, you know, normally we have a breakfast which would have your proteins and your yogurts and granolas and eggs and things like that. And then we put out a make-your-own lunch so that people can pack up a bag lunch for their hiking day and lots of snacks. And we make sure there's lots in that so people aren't worried about being hungry. When you get back to the lodge, then we do appetizers to greet you. And so we do a variety of different things from exotically flavored popcorn to tuna to tacky to nachos, things like that. And then supper is generally something we've either roasted in the oven or barbecued on our portable barbecue with, your starches. And we always do fresh vegetables.
And it's a three-course dinner. There's always salad with dinner and dinner itself with vegetables and things, and then a dessert at the end of it as well.
I'm just going to take a break for lunch. I'll be right back. Sounds pretty good. So I suppose that while you're up there, you probably have nothing to do but sit around on the front porch during the day. You just kind of lay around and that kind of stuff with not much to do.
Yeah, exactly. We just wait for the guests to come back so we can say hi. No, there's lots to do. Like anywhere else, anywhere that's remote, things always break and go wrong. So there's lots to do to take care of things. And then we hopefully get out to do some hiking too. But we do have running water there. So that's a water line that we have to take care of. Propane heat, propane for cooking. So all those things have to be maintained. And then we're powered by solar. So we have to maintain our power system and our communication system. We have satellite internet and a radio telephone link up there.
The internet is for staff only. We try and make our at the moment, we don't have very much internet, so it is only staff only, but we like to talk about being unplugging when you come up. There's lots of games and lots of fun stuff for people to do up there.
I imagine you're personally powered just by your surroundings, what you get to wake up to every morning.
Actually, that's a really good way to put it, Brad. It's just the view when you walk out the door and the sounds and the smells and the weather, no matter what it's like, because it makes it a really special place.
I'm just wondering, are you able to share a little bit of both your backgrounds, how you ended up owning a backcountry lodge in British Columbia?
That's a complicated trail there. Neither of us were really in that kind of field, but we've been mountain people since we were in our early teens. That used to be my family vacation when I was a kid, was hiking in the mountains. So we've always loved it, and we've loved backcountry lodges. The way we came into this is that my son was looking for something to do with his future, and he did a business plan on Diana Lake Lodge, and in the end, ended up buying it. Unfortunately, we lost him a few years ago, so we had to take things over, and we've done our best to undertake establishing the legacy that he wanted to have for this place. So that's really how we came into it. It wasn't a plan. It's something that happened to us.
Yeah, I'm sure that was, I was aware of that, and it was a very tough situation for you. So I'm sure Dustin is very happy that you're carrying on with the plan.
Either that or he's sitting up there laughing at us for all the work we're doing.
A little bit of both, perhaps.
Yeah, I definitely feel that he's got his, he's looking over our shoulders while we're doing things, but we're certainly trying to follow his philosophies and approaches.
You know, Brad, we've done a lot of trips all around the world, Mike and I. Lots of through hiking, lots of oat routes. We've spent some time in the Pyrenees and staying at all the different European types of lodges. And the lodges that are in South America has really shown us ways to do it that are great. We've tried to incorporate a lot of that into the lodge and the way that we do the food, for example, and the kinds of activities we provide.
Yeah, we're trying to make it a family or a common person experience, not elitist like a lot of lodges end up being. We're trying to make sure everybody can come up there and enjoy it. And, you know, one of the things we've enjoyed about working up there is, you have guests that stay only for a couple nights or three nights, and by the end of it, you're really good friends. And there's something special about that. And I think the place makes that happen.
British Columbia, Canada is a backcountry skier's paradise. With epic snowfall, vast alpine terrain, and cozy remote backcountry lodges. Your adventure begins here at backcountrylodgesofbc.com.
This is Mountain Escapes, brought to you by the BLBCA. If you enjoy these podcasts and want to support them, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. We are chatting with Pat and Mike, owners of Diana Lake Lodge near Spill Machine, BC. Welcome back. You mentioned that you operate summer and winter. Do you notice quite a bit of difference in your guests? Are they crossover guests or are they different guests, summer to winter?
That's interesting because, this has been our first truly commercial year running. And a lot of the guests that came were people that had been up there in the summer and were really excited about the possibility of skiing in that terrain. But we do have some people that only come for the skiing. I did talk a little bit earlier about avalanche terrain and stuff like that. So it is a place for experienced skiers. So it's not for the everyday guy, but we've had some great groups and we've had family groups up there. In fact, we had a 2.5-year-old in one of the groups this year.
Can you just give us an idea of the typical activities people would do in the summer? What kind of things would they take on for their recreation?
Well, I guess the hiking, of course, is a big one. So people hike up to get to the lodge. And then from the lodge, you can climb up to Whitetail Pass and you can go north or south to one of the ridges. Go up the Judge Ridge, you can scramble up that. You can explore through the Alpine Meadows. We don't have a lot of other trails in the valley, but because it's in the Alpine up high, it's easy to explore everywhere. We have lots of fossils along Fossil Ridge. You can search for those. There's lots of water stuff to do because Diana Lake itself is a beautiful lake. The kids are always swimming in it after July, after the ice is off the lake. We have people that come and fish, and there's cutthroat and rainbow still in the lake. And we have lots of people that do photography because the flowers are spectacular, like all the way up. The flowers change and they change as the season changes. So you can follow the glacier lilies up and then you can follow the anemones up. And so there's lots of fishing. There's wildlife spotting. We have seen goats and lots of bears and grizzly bears and lots of, we've seen wolves. And there's, of course, tons of birds up there as well in the summertime. It's a pretty fantastic place just to explore and to relax and read a book.
Do you have any mountaineering objectives? Do you have climbing?
Not so much. Mount Norman is there, but it's a bit of a challenge and it's not the world's best rock. But the Judge is a good scramble. And then there's some other ridges to explore, which we haven't done yet. And people are starting to do now that they have a base to stay at.
In the winter, what are people typically doing?
Our terrain is... how do I describe it? It's not as long as some lodges, so people can do lots of short trips and short runs. And there's lots of variety between skiing off the ridges in the Alpine or skiing in the trees when conditions warrant. There's lots of little nooks and crannies where you can find really good snow. We've been skiing there for, I guess this was the sixth year we've skied there, and we've always had really good snow, always been able to find good powder. So we find people do lots of short stuff here, which maybe our clientele is a bit older than in other places, and this is the kind of thing they enjoy. It's self-guided as well, so people can kind of do what they'd like to do during the day. So lots of times people will get up, make their lunch, go out and ski, and then decide, hey, I'm going to go back to the cabin and eat lunch in a nice warm spot. Maybe I'll have a nap and then I'll go for another ski. So it's a little bit more laid back than some of the other places, which get pretty intense. But that being said, we've had groups up there that go hard all day and go to places I wouldn't even have thought of going. So it's there is variety there.
Do you have any snowshoers?
Yeah, we've had people bring snowshoes in. The guests are primarily skiers, but we did have one group where one person didn't ski at all and brought snowshoes in. The 2.5-year-old could actually move better on snowshoes than he could on his feet, but there is lots of snowshoeing to do up there, and I think that's probably one of the groups of people that we'll be looking at in the future to go up there. There's the lake. There's lots of meadows to go through the pass. It's the Whitetail Pass above us is pretty gentle approach. So it's a place people can go up to and get a really nice view.
I assume you have a high percentage of your guests are returned. Do you have any idea what that actual number is?
That's a really good question. We have had quite a few people that come hike every year. They don't necessarily come and stay. Sometimes they stay and sometimes they just come up for a day hike. We get a lot of people from the valley, from the Columbia Valley. I would say 90% of our guests are from the valley or hiking groups that have heard about it through someone in the valley. We have international people that have come in as well, but usually they're being brought by somebody in the valley that knows about this great secret of Diana Lake Lodge.
Yeah, I think one thing I've noticed is we do run the tea house where day hikers come and can have a cold drink and something to eat, like a lunch or nachos or baking or whatever. And then they'll sit there and they'll ask about staying. And next thing I know, they're calling or emailing to see if they can book some days. So I think that kind of return guests we get quite a few of.
So with your return guests, what if you asked them, it was a bit of a broad question, but if you asked them what was their main thing that they valued from their experience at your lodge?
I think in many cases, it's the beauty of the valley, the fact that it's approachable. And so we have wilderness that's close to civilization. And they really, really love our main custodian, Amanda. And they love the food. And I think it's all those things together. Amanda makes everybody feel so welcome.
Yeah, that's what they say. You know, if you have a good food, everybody's happy. It doesn't matter what the weather like and everything else.
It's true.
So in your time operating your lodge, have you noticed any significant changes or shifts in, say, your guests or your staff, if that's applicable?
Not so much on the staff. Amanda's been there near the beginning, and she's great and consistent, so that hasn't changed that much. The guests changed a little bit during COVID. We got quite a few more people that hadn't been doing things in the mountains and decided maybe that was a place to go back to. So I think we've seen quite a few people that have decided they're going to come to a place like Diana Lake with their kids so that they can be in the outdoors but don't have to carry tents and all the gear that they need to. So I think that's a change. And then we've had a few people that just haven't really done this kind of thing, and they show up in their running shoes and pack that they use when they went to high school. But it's all great because they're all learning about the outdoors, and I think they're also going to be supporters of conservation approaches and things in the future. So we're really happy to see it.
Where would you like to see your lodge in 10 years, 20 years?
Well, hopefully I'll be seeing it from my armchair, but I think one of the things for me is, lots of places talk about growth and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And for us, I think we want to keep this down to small groups, keep it more intimate, keep it more friendly. I think the only thing differences I would see is just increasing the comforts a little bit and really trying not to do much more and not create any more impact in the area, because I think that's part of the attraction. Pat might differ from me on that, but
No, I agree with that mostly. I think that what we found, like the cabin is not big, and we have a maximum of about 8 people, maybe 10 if some of those are kids right now, and we don't want to get any bigger than that. That's enough people to manage and for the area, as far as I'm concerned. And I think it's the same for skiing. We don't really want to make it bigger. We ask for 6 guests now as a max. Maybe we'll do 7. But we're trying to keep it so it's a small, intimate group of people that can do the things they want to do and not have to be governed by a whole bunch of other people. I think that's where we are. We have got an outdoor, in the summer, we have a hot outdoor shower, which is luxurious. And we finished our sauna building last year and have used it. It's fantastic. And so we have sauna with a bucket shower in the winter time as well.
Do you think that you are in a position and perhaps have responsibility to positively impact backcountry users to recreate more responsibly?
I think we definitely have, as operators, I think that's definitely a thing that we need to be doing. And I think it's a place where we do have influence and input. And interestingly enough, I think people see you because you're there. They see you as an expert or a mentor or whatever, and they listen to what you say.
One of the things that Dustin and Mike did the first year that they were up there is they replaced the old pit toilet with a composting toilet. It's an outhouse that will compost materials, and we add red wriggler worms to it in the summer, and we thought that we would be able to use it for 10 years or 12 years, but it looks like we're going to be able to use it for 30 because it's working so efficiently and so well. And people are very interested in why we've done that and what we're doing and how that works. So we take the opportunity to talk about that, and we take the opportunity to talk about wildlife and wildlife interactions, because we do have bears that come through the area. We do see goats. I've seen a wolf in the area. We've seen tracks there in the spring. So the Kootenai pack comes over from time to time. So we take a lot of that really, really seriously. And we have lots of knowledge about that sort of stuff as well.
One thing that was happening to us, because things were getting more popular and the tea house was getting busier, is that our meadow in front was getting all sorts of paths and tracks through it, because people were walking wherever they wanted. And with the dry conditions that we've had over, you know, the last few years, it's really started to impact it. So we actually staked out pathways. So that becomes a topic of conversation, and people appreciate what we're doing to try and protect the meadow.
And it's actually working. The grass, we had grass going to seed all around the meadow yet last year that we haven't had before. And we've been able to really focus people's attention on preserving the meadows.
This is the BLBCA's Mountain Escapes podcast. Thank you for listening. And remember to rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you hear us on. Leave us a 5-star review and we'll maybe share some of our favorites on a future show. Now, back to the podcast.
You're a card-carrying member of the BLBCA. What activities would you like to see the association and the board focus on in support of the members like yourselves?
Well, I think one of the reasons we joined, and of course we're relatively new members, the reason we joined is the things that the BLBCA is already doing. And I think, you know, there's lobbying on our behalf with the provincial government, which is really hard for individual operators to do on their own. There's marketing, which is, you know, for large scale marketing and trying to reach wide audiences, very hard for an individual lodge to do. You know, the support we get from you, Brad, when we, you know, when we need help with things with bureaucracy and other things, I think, you know, that's been great to have there. And I think somebody keeping tabs on things that are coming down the pipe that we have to be aware of. Again, as an operator, your head's down trying to keep your facility going, and you don't see these other issues coming up that could have a significant impact on your operation. So I don't see lots more that the BLBCA could be doing for us, but they sure are doing lots for us right now.
You've had a number of years as lodge owners. Are you willing and able to share a favorite memory or favorite story?
Well, I'll give you one story, and it's about our grandson, who is the other owner. He's 7 currently. But when he was 4, we were up there putting the water line in the spring, and we had a dog up there named Pippi. And we were busy trying to get this water line in. The creek was really high and roaring hard and still covered in snow and patches. So it's a very serious conversation with young Riven, saying, you know, you have to be really careful and you have to make sure there's always an adult with you. Well, of course, we're heads down working on the water line and realize no sign of Pippi or Riven. They're off chasing ground squirrels. So finally found him and said, you know, you're supposed to be with an adult. And he looked us straight in the eye and said, Pippi's an adult.
Awesome. That's fantastic.
Well, smarter than us.
How about you, Pat?
I guess one of the things that that I remember is that last summer we had a mix-up in one of our bookings. We had somebody book way back in like a year before, 6 months before in November, they booked 2 different trips, and they were going to come up and stay. They had a group and they were going to come up and stay one night in the campground and then come up and stay at the lodge for their final night, which was the celebration of everything. And the first trip went fine. The second trip, somebody came up during the day and said, oh, we're looking so forward to coming tomorrow night. And Amanda had a group of 13 from a hiking club already in the cabin, already booked in. And the first group had gotten the wrong date. So Amanda was a little blown away because she was doing both were fully catered. So what she ended up doing was she ended up cooking for 23 people. And the first group, the one that had made the mistake, ate outside. And the group that was inside was really booked for that night, ate on the inside. But she went out of her way to make a huge meal for all these people and try and address the issue so that the first group could be taken care of, because she felt real bad that they had made a mistake. I think that's the kind of person that she is, and that's the kind of treatment that we want to make sure our guests get. So above and beyond, I think.
What a scene. I can only imagine. But you know what? Everybody in that thing will never forget it.
Yeah.
If our listeners are interested in learning more about Diana Lake Lodge, how should they best reach you?
The best and most reliable way of getting a hold of us is via email, and it's dianalakelodge@gmail.com. And we also put lots of information up on our website, which is dianalake.ca. So those are the best ways to get a hold of us. Phone's really hard for us because we're always in between places. So those are the two best ways. And we try and be pretty prompt about getting back to people that are contacting us.
This has been the BLBCA's Mountain Escapes. We have been fortunate to visit with Mike and Pat, owners operators of Diana Lake Lodge, and we thank you for your time. Remember to give us a 5-star review, and we may share your comments on an upcoming podcast.
Mountain Escapes, a backcountry podcast, is sponsored by the Backcountry Lodges of British Columbia Association. Produced by Bolt Productions. Thanks for listening.